The world's gonna try to break me, but I know the one who makes me strong. Strong, like my daddy always told me so. There's a place you can always go when you've got nothing. And then he handed me the one thing that's strong. Doesn't matter how old it gets, there's power in the words that I read in this old Bible. And when I'm desperate for revival, I hit my knees with my hands held high, saying, "Dear Lord Jesus, you know I can't do this on my own. I can't do this on my own. Lord knows I've tried, but I'm good at falling down. Thank God you're good at picking me up off the ground. The world's gonna try to break me, but I know the one who makes me strong. Oh, strong. I'm strong when I got nothing. I'm strong even when I'm weak. Because the strong arms of my Savior are holding on to me. I hit my knees with my hands held high, saying, "Dear Lord Jesus, you know I can't do this on my own. I can't do this on my own. Lord knows I've tried, but I'm good at falling down. Thank God you're good at picking me up off the ground. The world's gonna try to break me, but I know the one who makes me strong. Oh, you make me strong. Oh, this world ain't gonna break me, 'cause I know the one who makes me strong."
Oh, made it up that mountain. You didn't think it was a mountain. Sure felt like a mountain to me. Good morning, everyone. Today's the day for Mr. Bibby and Miss Goldie to give the message. Hallelujah. I'm so excited about this. Hallelujah. You got your Bibles there? Turn with me to John 14. I had to check. I've got a spot here for my teeth. And I know they're my teeth and not my wife's because they weren't chattering. They were nice and quiet, okay? So let me put this down. And in John 14, we're going to be talking today on the subject, Jesus is coming soon. John's Gospel, chapter 14, starting with verse 1. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me." These are red letter words. That means it's the words of Jesus. "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And I pray that our hearts would be in tune to hear your voice speaking to us personally today. That we would hear what you have to say to every single one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, Goldie, where are you? I thought you were going to be my helper. Goldie. Well, come on.
You know, it has been a stressful week. Really stressful. Really stressful. And thank you, Adeline, for that song. I'm not joking about this. That song just thrilled me. And then there's the stress of having to find my new look. Luckily, I found it right where I left it the last time I took it off. But then I wanted to coordinate with an outfit. So here I am stressing over what am I going to wear today. Then I almost resorted to something totally unrelated. And that didn't work out. So this is why this is quite a unique hairdo. So not everything is going to go with. So that's why we have the blue with the yellow in the dress, so that it will work well. And before I go up there, I just heard something. You said about when you're talking about your teeth. At least I know they're not my wives. How many in my thought was, how many do you have? And I'm not talking about teeth.
You are the only one. Trust me. Don't start rumors, Goldie. Just be a helper. Okay. So we've read our text, and our message today is Jesus is coming soon. From John 14, 1 through 6. Are you with me, Goldie?
I am.
Okay. What's the message today? Okay, you got it.
I got it.
You're with me.
That sounds like an old song to me. Oh, my microphone. People don't
Thank
tell
you.
Me I need a microphone very often. But... Oh, okay. So you missed my whole thing about the wives in the outfit.
That's good.
Oh, okay.
Good.
All right. Yes. That sounds like an old song to me, sung by the Oak Ridge Boys, the Keystone Quartet, the Blackwood Brothers, the Ambassador Quartet, and on and on.
Okay, Goldie, you made All right. your point. All right. It was a gospel song, but I'm using it today as the title for my sermon. Is that okay with you?
Whatever floats your boat, but did you ask them if it was okay?
Ask who?
Ask who? Ask the Oak Ridge Boys, the Keystone Quartet, the Blackwood Brothers, the Ambassador Quartet, and anyone else who ever sang it, if it's okay to use their song title as the title for your sermon.
No, I didn't
How ask
How come? Because I'm preaching a sermon, not singing a song.
All right, I'm just checking. That's all I'm saying. I'm just checking.
Do you think it would be okay if I go to preaching my sermon now?
Whatever you want to do.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
John 14, verse 2, Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you." Boys and girls, what place do you think he's talking about here? Heaven, right. He's going to his Father's house, which is in heaven. That is where Jesus is getting ready to go. He was getting ready when he was speaking these words to go to heaven.
Far out.
I think someone who's helping me is far out right now. Okay, thank you, Goldie, for your help.
You're welcome. I'm so confused.
Mm.
You didn't know that, did you? Mm. Oh, my goodness sakes. All right. So you will
ask me, but you won't ask the Oak Ridge Boys, the Keystone Quartet, or the Blackwood Brothers?
Goldie, I have an idea. Why don't you just stand here, be quiet, and look pretty for a little while? Would that work?
I can stand. I don't know about being quiet, and I don't know if everything's working together to make me pretty. So.
Okay.
But
well,
I will do my best. My best.
Okay.
Might not be good enough, but it's my best.
That's all we'll ask for. Okay, so folks, here in this passage of Scripture, Jesus was actually letting his 12 disciples know that he was getting ready to go to the cross and die on the cross. That's something they didn't see coming. It was something they didn't understand when it was spoken of in the Old Testament. So he's trying to gently lead them to the understanding that he's about to die on the cross. You and I know that he did that on that first Good Friday. And then a couple of days later, he rose from the dead on that first Easter Sunday. But then after his resurrection, the Bible teaches us that for about 40 days, he was ministering to those that believed in him, teaching them more things that they didn't understand about the kingdom of God. And then it comes to the book of Acts, chapter 1, and in verse 9, here's what it says. Jesus was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid them from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking up into the sky? This same Jesus, who's been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." He went to heaven. That's where he's been ever since. Do you wonder what he's been doing all this time in heaven?
Yes, I do wonder.
Our Bible passage from John chapter 14 told us that he was preparing a place for us. For everyone who believes in Jesus and puts their trust in him, Jesus was preparing, is preparing a place in heaven for us.
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting. And in John 14, verse 3, he tells us that he's going to come back to take us to heaven to be with him. So you got the picture? He ascended up into heaven, and all the believers that were there saw him do that. And in heaven, he's preparing a place for us. And when he has the preparations made, he told us he's going to come back from heaven to get us so that we can go back to heaven with him.
So when is all this going to happen?
Well, that's where it becomes a little bit difficult to deal with. Matthew 24, 36 tells us this. "No one knows about the day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only." You see, Goldie, this is a secret. The day he's going to come back, we don't know. It is a secret.
But I want to know. Please tell me.
Goldie, I can't tell you because I don't know either. It's a secret.
Oh.
If I knew, it wouldn't be a secret.
That's
and for sure, if I told you, it wouldn't be a secret.
I just was thinking that same thing. Opposite. Because every secret you have could come out in a sermon. You know that. You know that.
Okay. All right, Goldie.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm done.
We don't know when Jesus is coming back to get us. That's hidden with the Father.
Well,
but we do know how he is going to come back to get us.
Well, tell us, old bearded wonder, before we all die from the suspense.
The Bible makes it clear that he's coming back to get us at what we call the rapture. In 1 Thessalonians in the Bible, written by the Apostle Paul, as the Spirit of God used him, chapter 4, 16, 17, and 18, tells us about it. Listen to what it says. "For the Lord," we know that's Jesus himself, "will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." That's talking about those that we loved, that trusted in Jesus, who passed away from this world. We saw their funeral services. They went into a casket. The casket was put into the ground. But we understand that that's not the end for those. They died before us. But when the rapture comes, the Bible tells us that it's the dead in Christ that will rise first. You see, they're planted about 6 feet under in the ground. They've got 6 feet further to go than we do. So the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together. I have this picture in my mind that the earth is going to start rumbling and the soil on top of the graves is going to break open. And all of a sudden, these dead believers in Christ are going to come out of their graves. And when they get up to ground level, you and I will be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the clouds. And so will we be forever with the Lord. Doesn't that sound like an exciting event? That is going to happen. We don't know the day, but we know the way it's going to happen. And then in the very next chapter in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it tells us that this will happen like when a thief comes at night. It's going to be a surprise, totally unexpected.
Well, how can we be ready? I sure don't want to miss it.
Well, I'm so glad you asked that, Miss Goldie. Let me show you what the Bible says about getting ready for the rapture. In our text passage, Jesus went on to tell us that he was the only one who could get us to where the Father is. Listen to what he said in verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So the Father's in heaven, and no one can get to the Father except through Jesus. What is he trying to tell us here? That's what I'm here to explain this morning. You see, friends, God loves everyone in the world and created all of us that we might have a personal relationship with him. That's what God's love is all about in John 3:16. For God so loved the world, and that world includes you and me and everyone on planet Earth that you will ever see. You'll never see a person on this planet that God doesn't love and wants to provide eternal life for them. He wants a personal relationship with us. But man is sinful. Ever since Adam and Eve in the garden, when they disobeyed God's first simple little command, they sinned. Sin separates us from a holy God so that we cannot, in our sinful condition, have a personal relationship with him. Something has to be done with our sin. That's where Jesus came in. The Bible teaches that Jesus died on the cross so that we could have forgiveness for our sins. And you know what we call that? We call that the good news. Mm-hmm. Amen? Because you see, if Jesus didn't die for our sins, the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. If he didn't take our sins on him and die for us, we would have to die for our own sins. So this is good news, that Jesus died on the cross so that we can have forgiveness of sins. Romans 5:8 puts it this way. God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is the only way that you and I can receive God's forgiveness. And now, with our sins forgiven, we can enter into a personal relationship with God. So you see, friends, coming to church is not about a religious experience in which we come and push all the buttons and do everything we're supposed to do, say our prayers right, do all of that stuff. It's not about a religion at all. It's about a relationship. God wants to get personally involved with us. And as long as there was sin in the way, he couldn't do that. So when we find forgiveness through Jesus Christ, sin is removed. This was signified on that first Easter weekend when the veil from the temple where the high priest was ready to take the offering of the Passover lamb to offer it before God, just before he stepped through that veil, the scripture tells us it was ripped in two from top to bottom. If that was man's doing, it would have started at the bottom and been ripped from bottom to top, signifying it was God's doing. He opened the way. What was inside the way? That in the temple for the Jews back then was the holiest place. There was the ark where God said, I will dwell among my people. So now what we're seeing is that the way into the holy presence of God was made clear for us through the blood of Jesus Christ. That means we can all go into the presence of God and establish our personal relationship with him. Doesn't that sound like good news?
Amen.
We can know God, and that's what God wants. He wants us to come to a relationship with him. And that relationship is available only through Jesus Christ. Jesus died on the cross so that we can have forgiveness of sin, and that made it possible for us to have a personal relationship with him. Now, Jesus died for everyone, but it doesn't mean it's automatic that everyone is forgiven. The Bible teaches that we must accept his sacrifice personally ourselves. In John chapter 1, verse 12, here's what it says. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of a husband's decision or will, but born of God. So every one of us must make a decision if we're going to accept God's forgiveness that Jesus provided for us. And when we do, we become sons and daughters of God. Amen. And you know what that means? We have a relationship now with our Heavenly Father. We can cry out to him like the Jews would have cried in the Old Testament and say, Abba, which simply means Father. It's a term of endearment. And we can come into that personal relationship with God because of what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. And that's the only way anyone who ever comes into a personal relationship with him can experience it, through the sacrificial life of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. Amen? And you know what that means? That we had nothing to do with our salvation except receiving it. We can't work to earn it. It's not based on our performance. It's based on his performance. And when he was on the cross, he spoke these words, "It is finished." That means everything that can be done to secure your salvation has been taken care of by me. That leaves a responsibility to us to do something with what he did. So far, let me wrap up what we've seen here. We must receive Jesus Christ if we ever plan on going to the Father's house and live in the place that Jesus is preparing for. We receive him by faith, which means that we put all of our trust and dependence on him for forgiveness of sin. I can't do anything to secure forgiveness. He took care of it by what he did on the cross. He did that on our behalf. So it's hard to understand that, but it's kind of like what we do sometimes down here. Have you ever had someone go to the bank for you and make a deposit into your account? Have you ever had that happen? I'm not going to do that for you, but I wonder if you have. I've had that happen from time to time. And every once in a while, we have to do that for one of our children who's facing a need they don't have money for. So you know how it works. They call mom and dad, and mom and dad are glad when we have the money to be able to help our kids. So we'll deposit something on their behalf so that they can draw on that account. That's what Jesus did for us. He didn't have to die for his own sins because he was sinless. So he died for our sins, and he deposited his sacrificial death into our account. And now, by faith, we come and we draw from that account and say, Jesus, I believe what you did on the cross, you did for me. And I'm trusting you to save me based on what you did on the cross. Doesn't that make sense?
Yes.
Okay? So we receive him by faith, and we do it by giving him the invitation. You see, God created us with our own will. And that means that God is never going to force himself on us. He will always recognize the exercise of our free will. So when he died on the cross, he knew that there were going to be some people who would accept his free gift. But he also understood that the rest of the world might not receive that offer. But he still went to the cross so that the provision would be made in case they decided to do it. We must accept him by faith, inviting him to come into our lives, to forgive us our sins, and to become the Lord and Master of our lives. And the way we invite him in is through prayer. And prayer is not something you need to be afraid about. Prayer is just as simple as talking to someone you love. Remember, he's our Heavenly Father, and just as you could talk to an earthly father, you can pray to him. And I'm going to just give you this simple little prayer. You can pray it with me if you would like to, but it's just as simple as this. Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I want to know you personally.
I want to know you personally.
Thank you for dying on the cross.
Thank you for dying on the cross.
I believe that you did that for my sins.
I believe that you did that for my sins.
I open my life to you.
I open my life to you.
And receive you by faith as my Savior.
And receive you by faith as my Savior.
Thank you for forgiving me of my sins.
Thank you for forgiving me of my sins.
And giving me eternal life.
And giving me eternal life.
Please be my new boss.
Please be my new boss.
And make me into the kind of person you want me to be.
And make me into the kind of person that you want me to be.
I ask this in Jesus' name.
I ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Wow, that's incredible. So since I believe in Jesus and invited him into my life, I'm ready to go to heaven with him when he comes to get us in the rapture.
You got it, Miss Goldie. It is just that simple.
Oh, my.
So you see, friends, this is good news.
Yes.
And it's simple enough that a little child could understand it. Let's not complicate it. Moms and dads, boys and girls, I'm not trying to make you religious. But God wants a personal relationship with you. And I believe that he arranged this meeting here at Caribou Assembly of God just to give you the invitation to step into a personal relationship with him. Now it's up to you to take it from there. Are you willing to surrender the way you've been living and the things you've been trusting? Good works, good deeds, being a good person. All those things are good, but they're not enough to find forgiveness of sin for you. It's only what Jesus did on the cross that God accepts as the sin offering for our sins. And you can receive that. And with that comes to you the grace of God. That means favor is on your life. Mm-hmm. That God no longer looks at you with a frown and makes you feel like you need to run and hide, but he looks at you with a smile, and he opens his arms waiting for you to come to the Father to receive his warm embrace. And I want you to know the scripture tells us that when we come to him, no one will be able to pluck us out of his hands. He will get a hold of us with such a tight grip, we call it the grip of grace, that when you just keep trusting him, you'll be secure forever and ever and ever. And can I tell you something I've experienced in my relationship with him that started the last Sunday of October 1970? and has continued all these years, there will be times in your life when you will struggle with your faith and go through difficult times. And it feels like your hands may be losing your grip on him. But in those times, you will feel him carrying you because he's committed to you, because you're now a son or a daughter of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And the Heavenly Father always, always, always takes care of his children. And if you stumble and fall, he doesn't kick you to the side of the road as any earthly parent would. We come over to you, pick you up with arms of love. We brush off the dust. We bandage up the wounds. We give you a hug and a kiss, and we help you to learn how to walk all over again. The Father will do the same for you.
Thank you,
amen?
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. So remember that. And if God's speaking to you today, what he's doing is he's waiting for you to respond to him. You can do that in church or you can do that at home. But you need to respond to him and let him know what you're going to do with the deposit of forgiveness that he made in your account. Are you going to draw from it by faith and use it? Or are you going to walk away from it? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us today. And Lord, what we've simply done in this message is shared the good news about Jesus Christ in a way that every child, every man and woman could hear and understand, and help them to understand that it's now their time to take responsibility for this truth that I've given. I've delivered the mail. It's time for them to read it and take action on it. And I pray that the grace of God would flood into their hearts and lives, and that faith that comes with the preaching of the Word of God would arrive in their hearts, and that they would believe this word and the message of grace and forgiveness and accept this gift that you're giving them today, that they might become children of God, that we would all be one great big family. We thank you for it, for we ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen.